Hello everyone. This podcast is presented by Studio 3, an in-house production studio of Dongrilla.com.
The good news is finance and accounting marketplace hasn't been as affected as the rest of the UK job marketplace, and there's always a demand for good accountants. So it's about whether supply outstrips demand in a particular sector.
There are significant regional variances, particularly in the South East. As you'd expect, the South East London rates tend to be 20% higher. However, within other locations, there are regional differences that aren't necessarily reflective of the south-north divide. It completely depends on industry sector and specialism. So, for example, the oil and natural gas industry, Aberdeen might be the place to go, or it could be abroad. However, financial services, insurance, you could command higher salaries potentially in London, Liverpool, Bristol, Edinburgh. So it's very specific to the particular industry and specialism. Insurance, financial services are always going to be strong and they continue to be. But there are others, anything up and coming. So if you think natural resources, gas, oil, very difficult to find good people in those sectors currently. Construction, always in demand. We went through a recession, so we lost a lot of talent from that sector. And now it's very difficult to identify the key skills to get back. Other areas such as insurance, where there's regulatory change, always frequent high demand.
I'd be willing to pay more for somebody who showed that they could add more to the business. And when I say add more to the business, I mean to the bottom line or to the top line. So somebody who's thinking beyond the realms of their current role, but how they can impact the wider business. And if they can deliver more profit to the business, then I would be happy to give them a share of that increase in profit. Salary and benefits are still key to retaining and attracting employees, but over the years, employees have come to expect and look for broader rewards. I think those incentives and rewards will change over the next 5 to 10 years because people are looking more towards a work-life balance now, and I think those incentives will change to reflect that.
More overriding than anything else, as you get later in your career, salary benefits are kind of more of a push because you're not getting feel, you know, fits in my personality as well as my skills. What somewhere that's going to offer me the right opportunities, but also somewhere that I can, you know, add influence and help develop.
So financial business partners are finance professionals that partner within the business. So that may be within IT, HR, marketing, for example. They provide their technical expertise within those business lines to provide a strategic direction that's linked to finance.
If the employee can incorporate the business partnering skills in their makeup, then they may well achieve a greater salary, but what it really does is it makes them more saleable, so they'll have more opportunities for employment, and my belief is yes, that they would be able to command a greater salary.
SEMA gives you a massive grounding into different areas of finance. It teaches you about all different aspects and how to apply those skills in real business situations.
We encourage our clients to speak to their employees and find out exactly what they want. So it might be, for example, a contributory pension scheme is high on the agenda, or maybe it's training, potentially it's flexible working. A lot of the surveys we do and the feedback we have from our clients is it's a range of benefits that are most important, not just one particular thing.
What I've seen, particularly in the larger companies, is that their cash bonuses are being reduced and they're being replaced by share options. And what that does is, one, that it's quite often a bigger figure, so it's attractive. However, you're not going to get that bonus until 3 years after the option has been issued.
Harder to find, then obviously you're going to work, you're going to sacrifice something else for those kind of benefits.
What are your sort of career aspirations at the moment? How do you think?
I think when I first started, it was like, I just wanted to get a job, wanted to get somewhere where the main goal for me was to get somewhere where I could train, somewhere that would pay for my qualification, give me time off, give me the experience in different areas. That was all I was kind of geared towards. Money, yeah, it would have been nice to get paid more, but I wasn't really looking at that. It was kind of just getting my foot in the door. And then once you kind of progress through that, once you get different roles, once you get that experience, you you then look for more benefits, I think. You kind of say, right, I've worked hard to get to this point. I feel I should be rewarded for that, you know, and I've certainly put the effort in for those rewards. So, yeah, I think now it's kind of like when you look at getting that career platform going and trying to look at a stable way to, you know, to manage your life, and you need that kind of salary and benefits around that.
A lot of people that I've come across are saying they're leaving an organisation because they haven't achieved what they were hoping to have achieved within that organisation. And I think what would help is if succession planning is taken seriously and your talent pool, and that's internal and external, understand how your succession planning is going to work and what length of time it might take you to get to your desired goal.
I've worked for a lot of different companies, so I've learned, you know, a lot of different things about very kind of small businesses to big multinationals. So I feel like my skill set has kind of varied between the different roles.
Thank you for listening. For more such amazing podcasts, please log on to dongrilla.com.